to our service for the 16th Sunday after Trinity. It's been a joy this week to spend some time with our youngest son, Michael. And our first hymn is Michael's accompanying himself singing Colours of Day, Dawn into the Mind. Although Michael's the singer, do join in.
Colours of day dawn into the mind. The sun has come up, the night is behind. Go down in the city and into the street, and let's give a message to the people we meet. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show. Go through the park on into the town. The sun still shines on, it never goes down. The light of the world is risen again. The people of darkness are needing a friend. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show. Open your eyes, look into the sky. The darkness has come, the sun came to die. The evening draws on, the sun disappears. But Jesus is living, his spirit is near. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell people of Jesus to let his love show. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show.
Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, all of you according to your ways, says the Lord. Repent and turn from all your transgressions. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us and set us free from sin. Strengthen us in goodness and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for the 16th Sunday after Trinity. O Lord, we beseech you mercifully to hear the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfil them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms, the 25th Psalm, beginning at the first verse. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, then make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As water to the thirsty, as beauty to the eyes, as strength that follows weakness, as truth instead of lies, as song time and springtime and summer time to be, so is my Lord, my living Lord, so is my Lord to me. Like calm in place of clamor, like peace that follows pain, like meeting after parting, like sunshine after rain, like moonlight and starlight and sunlight on the sea, so is my Lord, my living Lord, so is my Lord to me. Asleep that follows fever, as gold instead of grey, as freedom after bondage, as sunshine to the day, as home to the traveller, and all we long to see, so is my Lord, my living Lord, so is my Lord to me.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The American Bryson DeChambeau won the US Open Golf Championship last week. DeChambeau is a new breed of golfer. He emphasises power above all else, hitting the ball phenomenal distances from the tee, and giving himself a considerable advantage. They say, however, that the most important distance in golf is the 6 inches between the ears. Most bad golf shots begin in the mind. Wrong choice of shot, wrong choice of club, but above all the little voice at the top of the backswing that says, "No, don't do that, do this." As soon as the club decelerates in doubt, the shot is doomed. The golfer has been caught between two minds, and it's always fatal. Something rather similar happened to me last week with the sermon at the New Key service. I had been assuming that I would simply preach the sermon that I'd recorded for the online service, but things that happened after the recording persuaded me to change my mind and to preach about something that, although more relevant, was not so thoroughly prepared. I want to remedy that by revisiting the same subject this week from a slightly different angle. The question we were dealing with was one raised in different ways by Jonah in our reading from the book of Jonah and by St. Paul in last week's reading from Philippians. At some point in the reading, each of them says that he would prefer to die rather than live. Jonah just in a fit of pique against God, really. St. Paul, because of his expectation of the glory of being with Christ after he dies. I had meant to say, and did not, that the first thing to say about human life is that it is the most wonderful form of existence known to us. Recently, there's been some discussion about whether there might be the possibility of minute traces of water in the cloudy atmosphere of the planet Venus, and therefore at some time, some possibility of life on the planet itself. And lots of people think, of course, that there must be other life forms in the unknown reaches of the vastness of the universe. But if there are, we have not found them yet, nor have they found us. What you and I experience, human, conscious life, is the most astonishing phenomenon in the known universe. We are capable of extraordinary things, of self-awareness, of the awareness of others. We are capable of language and of rational thought, capable enough to send a spaceship to Venus and beyond, capable of the appreciation of beauty in all its forms, capable of moral life, of a sense of right and wrong. Perhaps above all, we are capable of love, a capacity to which we shall return. From the beginning, or as it literally says, in the beginning, the Bible regards this life as an awesome gift from a Creator God. "I praise you," says the psalmist, "for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. That I know very well." Of course, life is fragile. Which of us can forget the first time of holding a newborn baby in our arms? How fragile the child seems. How fragile its life. "When we are born," says King Lear, "we cry that we are come to this great stage of fools." And that sense that life can seem to be folly or emptiness is strong in the wisdom literature of the Bible too, in books like Ecclesiastes. "We brought nothing into this world," writes Paul to Timothy. "It is certain we can take nothing out." In the Anglo-Saxon tradition, one counsellor of the Anglo-Saxon King Edwin is recorded by Bede as saying, "The life of man on earth is like the swift flight of a sparrow through the mead hall where you sit at supper in winter. This life of man appears for a little while, but of what is to follow, or what went before, we know nothing at all." Shakespeare's final summary, probably, is given to Prospero in The Tempest. "We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep." "The days of our life are 80 years, says the psalmist, "or perhaps, if we are strong, 80. Even then their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away." And yet, our souls cry out against the idea that we are merely dust, and that to dust we shall return. We know somehow, in the deepest part of our being, that we are born stubbornly into meaning. That brief flight of life, those 3 or 4 score years, is of measureless meaning and of infinite value, more value indeed than anything else we know. For many of us in recent years, especially at this very present time in Pembrin Church, and in recent years especially in Newquay Church, life has not felt like that. It feels as though we've been dealing with too much grief, as people we love and respect have died too soon. But that does not change the richness of life itself. I was listening to this week to Radio 4's Book of the Week. The book is called Dear Life, and is written by Dr. Rachel Clark, who practices medicine in the context of a hospice. In choosing that title, Dear Life, Dr. Clark is talking about the quality of life and emphasizing that even at the very end of life where she sees her patients, she and her colleagues can enable them to have the richest life they can right up to the end. If you listen to no other episode, listen to Wednesday's story of Dorothy, a formidable upper-class woman whom the hospice staff managed to dress up to the nines and get to her weekly game of bridge with her friends just 2 days before she dies. It was, says Dorothy herself, magnificent. At a much simpler level, Sam has just bought a new CD player for Dad so that there can be music in his room. Now he no longer gets much benefit from the television. Those pleasures, the ability to enjoy a game of bridge or to appreciate a piece of music, are just 2 of thousands one could mention that make up the rich tapestry of our very different lives. And the greatest of these, as St. Paul puts it, is love. It is trite, of course, to say that we only experience grief because we have experienced love. Trite, but true. On a Christian understanding, however, love is fundamental to life because we are all born from love and born into love. We are born out of the love that our parents had for each other and born into the love that they keep for us. Of course, we know in ourselves that that love sometimes fall short, but is what we are made from and what we are made for. And in a Christian understanding, this understanding is grounded in the truth that God himself is love, in his very nature, and that our creation is born of that love, so that God might have children who are the objects of his infinite love, made for existence with him. It is the anticipation of that existence with God which makes St. Paul suggest that it might be better for him to die and to be with Christ. But that is not especially a thing to be wished for in the present. We do not, after all, need to die to know the friendship and fellowship of Christ. Moreover, in that friendship and fellowship on the way of life, we learn the true depth of the Father's love. Christ himself learned the depth of his Father's love through his experience as a human being. This is a deep mystery, but it is the truth which Paul is trying to approach in the wonderful hymn from Philippians chapter 2, which is our New Testament reading today. He was born in human likeness. He was humble and walked the way of obedience to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above. Or as it says in Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the death of the cross. However deep the mystery of human suffering remains, the cross somehow teaches us that that pain, the pain that makes up the weft of our life just as surely as joy makes up the warp, that somehow that pain is comprehended in the love in which and for which we're created, the love of which the cross of Christ is the symbol, and to which, in eternity, the cross of Christ is the way. Amen. Yr hynny dyn y nefoedd, sancteddiad y enw, dyled y dernos, gwneled y wychlis, megis yn y nef, fechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dyr o'n ei heddiw ein bar y benyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fyna maddewn ninna ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag trwg. Can i seith o ti o'r dernos, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Let us pray for the Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. O God, the Creator and Preserver of all, we pray for people of every race and in every kind of need. Make your ways known on earth, your saving power among all nations. We continue to pray for those who suffer from COVID-19, for those who care for them, for those who grieve loved ones. This week we pray especially for those at risk of unemployment as the furlough scheme comes to an end and the new, less generous scheme of job support comes into place. We pray for the Chancellor and all who have difficult decisions of policy to make. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your church throughout the world, for Joanna, our bishop, Eileen, our archdeacon, John, our area dean, for our assistant clergy, Judith, John, and David, and for lay ministers in all our churches. Guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that all Christian people may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. We pray especially at this time for the congregation and members of Capel Tawen in Newquay, which took the painful decision to close this week. We pray for the future of Christian witness in Newquay and the surrounding area. We commend to your fatherly goodness all who are anxious or distressed in body, mind, or spirit. Comfort and relieve them in their need. Give them patience in their sufferings, and bring good out of their troubles. We continue to pray especially for those who are sick in our different congregations and in our communities, for those who are housebound, those who are lonely. We pray especially at this time for Pam and Aj. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We entrust to your gracious keeping all who have died in the faith of Christ, remembering especially Peter and Edwina. We give you praise for all your faithful ones, with whom we rejoice in the communion of saints. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great Shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and work in you always that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. For our look on the bright side today, one of the best known and most beautiful of Shakespeare's sonnets. Many of you will remember the charming television series, The Darling Buds of May. As you'll hear, it comes from Shakespeare's Sonnet 18. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed. And every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thou wanderedst in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe, or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee.